live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show, powered by the Simply G Media Network Celebrity Segment. Again, you can go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And I tell you, this is a celebrity Olympian that is just amazing. What she is able to accomplish, the kind of person she is, how she's with her fans, three-time Olympic gold medalist, Carrie Walsh Jennings. Carrie, thanks for calling, and I'm so excited to talk to you, especially when you're at an event, to take the time to talk to us today. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good, and thank you for all those kind words. You make me want to go and kick people's butts.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just amazing.
On the court.
That's okay. You know, being a mom and then being able to show your family life and then being able to also be such a great athlete and showing, you know, how you're – I remember the story about, you know, you still have to train, but you have a family. So you're able to show that an Olympian can be both a mom and also a gold medalist, which is a great message for women out there and girls, for sure.
Yeah, you know, I feel so blessed. I feel I'm truly living two of my biggest dreams in life. You know, my first dream ever was to be a mommy, and I couldn't wait to be a mommy. And I knew that when I became a mother, I wanted to be a working mother because that's what my mom does and did, and she did it great along with my father. And so I'm living both of my dreams. You know, I'm able to play the sport that I love since I was 10 years old. I'm able to partner with amazing people like Champ X here today, who that's the reason I'm talking to you. So I'm grateful to them. And yeah, I'm a blessed woman to be able to do what I do with the people I have surrounding me.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about this whole Active Girls with partnering with Tampax Pearl Active and what you're doing at the event today.
Yeah, well, basically they had a contest and they selected the winner to fly out here from wherever they're from. Today we had Christina and two of her friends and their mothers come out from New Jersey. And we just had an awesomely active day. You know, Tampax has a new product called Tampax Pro Active. And I know you're a man, but us women and girls absolutely appreciate this product, especially, you know, the more active you are, you need support and security and confidence, you know, when you're out there, no matter what time of the month. And today was about celebrating being active. And, you know, I think in today's society, that's such a great message to get out because we all like the couch a lot, maybe a little too much these days. So to focus on being awesomely active and to have these winners fly out from New Jersey, it was supposed to be sunny California for a great day. It was great for the girls, I hope, and I believe they had a good time. But it was amazing for me because it just reminds me of why I'm so blessed in my life and why I love the sport as much as I do. And it brought the little girl out to me today. I'm really grateful to Tampax for putting this on.
Well, absolutely. And again, I was watching the Facebook page and I had to make a comment. Look forward to talking to Carrie today. And I was amazed again. What you're trying to do is show again how important it is to be active and promoting that, especially with the obesity rate we're seeing. And also where sometimes girls think that they can't play sports, that this is something, you know, for men. And you're still trying to break that barrier even after Title IX and everything. You're still in that battle to kind of show that, you know what, it's okay for girls to play sports, and it's an important thing to stay healthy and active.
Yeah, you know, it is for everyone. And, you know, in my life, I just consider myself an athlete. You know, I'm very proud to be a woman. I'm very proud to be female, but I'm an athlete. And I've never had anything stop me from doing what I want to do. And I feel like my father and my mother set the tone in that. Carrie, you're a woman doesn't mean you can't do anything the boys can't do. And I've always lived my life that way. And but today, you know, is all about being active. But one of the great things that I got with these girls is that we got to talk about the importance of being active and physical and all the benefits that come from that, but that it's not just about that. You know, that's nutrition and the mentality of how you attack life and how you live with the purpose and, you know, that we don't need to compare ourselves to each other, just try to be the best you can be. Like, these are all messages that came out of today with this Tampax Active Day, and it was just, it's really beautiful, you know, because it's, you can go to the gym every single day and you can still be unhealthy because you're not sleeping right or you're not eating right, you know, and you can eat only salads and you can still be unhealthy, you know, so it's a combination. It's the whole picture of health and nutrition that's important. But being active is such a fun thing. You know, God bless us with these bodies, and it's up to us to use them. You know, you only get one of them, might as well have fun with it and get out there and be physical.
Well, absolutely, Carrie. And it's something that you have that message. You say, you know, it's important to do your very best. And I like hearing that. Again, you're an Olympic athlete. You had to work very hard. But if you didn't do your very best, you wouldn't be as successful today. And you, if you were discouraged, like, you know, I didn't do something perfect yesterday, or, I fell short, you know, to get back up and keep going. And that's a great message you were able to bring to those girls.
Yeah, no, totally. And, you know, there's so much, you know, I don't want to say failure, because it's just, if you come up short in something, there's always going to be another opportunity. And if there isn't, then there's a lesson that you learn from coming up short, you know. So it's just how you carry the challenges in your life. And, I love winning. Winning is so fun, but I learn more from losing. So it's really interesting, kind of the mindset that you have and the way things in your mind is so huge to success. It's so huge to your health, because we all do have those challenges, and it's how you carry those challenges inside of your heart and your mind and emotionally that's going to allow you either to be defeated by your challenges or allow you to, you know, rise above. And so that's something that it's so much easier said than done. You know, just because I say this doesn't mean I do it perfectly. I have to remind myself every day, but it's such a fun challenge to look at my way.
Well, absolutely, and you must be really excited that you had this opportunity, that Tampax asked you to be part of this. I mean, I could see the passion in your voice and the excitement that they asked you to be a spokesperson, which must have been a huge honor when you got contacted by them.
Oh, it totally was. You know, and it's amazing. Girlfriends, I'm like, I feel like I manifested this because I've wanted to be with Tampax for so long because they've gotten me out of so many jams, you know. And it's just, everything I do and all my partners, I'm in a blessed position where I have great corporate sponsors, but it's not corporate and it's not sterile. There's love behind this, and they're helping me support my dream, you know, and I'm helping Tampax Pearl, you know, talk about the importance of being active and their new active product. That's all beautiful, you know, and so I really am grateful to be in the position I'm in. I'm really grateful that Tampax had me out today. And it's so nice where, you know, it's mutually rewarding in so many ways, and it's inspiring as well. Today was just a home run.
We're talking to Carrie Walsh Jennings, again, three-time Olympic gold medalist, involved with Tampax Active. Pearl, and we're having a great conversation, but now I know that there was a lot of questions that your fans out there want to know. And first one is, especially now having a new partner, how is that going with April Ross, and how difficult was that to change partners after this change, especially, you know, with the focus on Rio?
I'll start with how difficult it was. Emotionally, the change was really hard. The first 2.5 months, I literally probably teared up every day, and it was really emotional, especially when I got back to competition. And it wasn't that I wasn't having fun with my partner. It was just that, you know, it's the end of an era. And my era with Misty was and always will be so amazing and such a beautiful thing. So it was emotional at first. Once I kind of got comfortable and kind of got into my routine, it's been amazing. And April is so fantastic on so many levels, on every level, really. She's a winner. She's a winner in life, you know, on and off the court. She makes me better. She's hungry. She wants to improve. She has all the intangibles, you know, like work ethic and drive and determination and perseverance that you can't, you know, money can't buy. And she has all that stuff in spades, along with the physical abilities to be the best in the world. And because of that, I feel like I have those things, or I'll borrow those things from her. We're going to win gold medal in Rio in a couple of years, and then we're going to win a lot along the way.
Well, absolutely. And did you ever compete with April before choosing her to be your partner? Did you compete with her in other competitions?
You know, we have something called the King of the Beach on the AVP, where it's a round robin, and it's just your individual. So you play with everyone else. And I got a chance to play with her in 2 matches, and we were 1-1. But mostly, she's been one of my biggest nemesis the past 8 years. So, you know, she's being one of the best in the world. Her and Jennifer Kessie were such an amazing team. You know, they won silver in London at the last Olympics. And she's been part of my drive. You know, when I'm in the gym or when I'm training, I think about her. I thought about her, you know, and she motivated me hugely. But to be on the same side of the court as her is so fun. She just has everything, and she makes me accountable because how good she is and how high of a level she competes at consistently. And it's just, I can't wait to grow and learn with her.
So how's you've been playing together. Have you done well in your competitions?
We have. You know, we've played in 4 tournaments. We've won 3 of them. We're just well, obviously, we've just scratched the surface. We probably had literally maybe 5 real practices, but most of our experience came through match experience, you know. And so to have a full preseason together and just to go to battle together and learn each other, you know, while competing against the best in the world, we're going to be so good. So I feel like we have all the tools, and we're going to work so hard and take nothing for granted and surround ourselves by amazing people. That we're going to put ourselves in the position to do what we want to do, and that's to win a gold medal in Rio.
Well, absolutely. And part of this whole process is training. The success that you've been able to have for 3 Olympic gold medals and being so huge in this sport. Tell us about your training regimen, especially now training for Rio and in every competition, and how, again, it goes back to the whole active thing and how dedicated you are as to be trained and trained to the highest level.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been playing volleyball since I was 10, and I've been on the beach for 12 years now, and I've learned a lot, you know, in that length of time. And every year I've done something a little bit different in my training because I want to keep growing and get out of my comfort zone. But training is huge. You know, for me, physical training is obviously a big part of what I do, but mental training has become just as important. I spend a lot of time on my mental training with my sports psychologist doing, you know, literally working my brain like it's a muscle, doing certain exercises. But, you know, training-wise, active-wise, I do a lot of Pilates. That's number one to what I do is, you know, having a strong core and having that body awareness that Pilates gives you. I'm on the beach, you know, 4 to 5 days a week, preseason, you know, training with April, doing individual workouts. And then I do strength training called Fast Twitch twice a week as well. So, but in the, you know, 12 years I've been a professional beach athlete, I have found my A-team, and I have the most amazing trainers, and I've learned so much. And what I've learned is that you have to keep your body guessing, but there are some things that you have to do consistently to maintain your strength, but it's always good to just adjust your workouts so your muscles, you know, don't get stuck in the same routine, because you have to challenge yourself in different ways to get, you know, better and new results.
Absolutely, Carrie. And from that process of training and hard work, it leads to Rio. And how excited are you about training for Rio?
Oh, man. I feel like I'm a kid. You know, Rio is 3 years out, and it's just, I'm so excited for, you know, the day to come when we qualify. We've got a lot of work to do ahead of us, but I'm really going to enjoy and cherish every single day because it's just so fun. You know, I have so much more room to grow, and I'm so eager to become the best that I can be in the next 3 years and to do it alongside April. But, you know, in August 18th, 2016, we want to be winning a gold medal in Rio on Copacabana Beach. So we have our sights set. We have 3 years to become the best in the world and to stay there. And, yeah, I assume you can tell in my voice, I'm just so stoked and pumped for the ride. For the good, the challenging, you know, the not so good, we're going to do it together. And the fact that I get to, you know, chase the same dream with my husband, who's going for the same thing, and with our children, it's just, you know, life is really beautiful.
Well, absolutely. So where can our listeners find more information on you and follow you on Facebook and Twitter and check out all the cool things you're doing, especially working with Tampax as well, so that they can learn more and really become a huge fan of yours all the way to Rio?
Yeah, well, you guys can check out today at Tampax.com or on Twitter, I think, and Facebook at Tampax. So that's for today's activity. And then for me, you can go to CarrieWalsh.com. That's a site in progress, so take it with a grain of salt. It will be good soon. But I'm on Twitter at Carrie Lee Walsh, and on Facebook, I believe, with the same. So, yeah, you know, one of the great things about this journey is the people who I've gotten to know along the way. And with social media, you know, people have become, you know, I feel close and part of the journey. So I really appreciate when people, you know, comment and support from afar. It makes it really fun.
You have an unbelievable following on Facebook. I see the activity and the interaction, and a lot of fan pages don't have that. So that really is almost like your website, and it's so great to see the interaction with fans and how they really just are following every move you're making.
Yeah, you know, I sometimes it feels so silly with the things I post because it's like too much information, or is it too personal, or is it silly, or but everything I post, you know, I post for a purpose, and whether I'm, you know, supporting Tampax because they're supporting me, and I believe whether doing. You know, some people don't appreciate the more corporate part of it, but they're helping me chase my dreams, and I hope people realize that I'm only with people that I love and trust and that I would recommend truly and honestly. And that's kind of how I try to apply everything on my social media stuff, and I'm glad that you recognize that. And I think people do, but it's just such an interesting thing. You know, 10 years ago, who would have ever seen this phenomenon? But it's really fun, and I gain a lot of inspiration from my followers.
Well, you're doing it right, Carrie, and that's the important thing. You're doing it right on Facebook. You're doing it right on Twitter. You're interacting with your fans, and that's the key component. So best of luck. Hope to maybe talk to you before Rio, and I know you're going to continue to enjoy this event today, and I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you, Carrie, and happy holidays, and good talking to you. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, you're listening to the Total Education Celebrity Show, powered by Simply G Media Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Tutor Show, powered by the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity segment on the Simply G Media Network. Again, go to simplyg.com. That's simplyg.com to find out information on GJ Reynolds, the Playful Powerful Warrior. My website, again, is totaltutor.net. And GJ, I tell you, I am so excited because I'm a huge basketball fan. Go ahead and introduce this guest. It just keeps getting better and better and better, doesn't it?
It definitely does, and you know, obviously being a huge basketball fan myself, although today I feel a little short with two six nine, six ten guys, so I'm feeling like the short one. But I grew up playing basketball and still play basketball, and you know, I'm in my early 50s, and this gentleman, you know, gave a lot of excitement through the years, especially in the 70s, played for the Boston Celtics, and you know, he's a two-time NBA champion, and I could go on and on and on all the accolades that he has. You know, all NBA, everything from you know all the way from rookie of the year, and then he was voted one of the top as the top 50 players of all time, and as a Hall of Famer. And please welcome number 18 of the Boston Celtics, Dave Collins. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great today, my man. How are you?
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And I was thinking about all these great memories of you playing and your tenacity and everything that you did on the court, and now it's transcended off the court, which we're gonna talk about, plus we're gonna talk about your new book. It was just, you know, all these old memories were coming up for me, and you know, just seeing that green and white.
Oh, you're having some flashbacks. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I'm having a bunch of flashbacks. They're all good ones.
Oh, good. That's wonderful. We had a good time doing it. I was lucky to be on a good team back there. We had, you know, Havlicek and JoJo White and Don Nelson and Paul Silas and Don Chaney. And, you know, we had five guys on that team who went on to become head coaches in the NBA.
Wow.
Might be a record for having one team have that many become head coaches. And it's pretty honored. And one guy, our best player was Havlicek, and he decided he didn't want to coach.
Wow.
So it's kind of crazy. Yeah.
Well, absolutely, Dave. So now, again, what's really interesting is the connection. We have a great entrepreneur. We have two great entrepreneurs on the show for sure, in yourself and GJ Reynolds. And Dave, you decided to write a book about business when you were a basketball player and coach, and I guess calling a commentator and many different things. Why write a book about business?
Well, I was approached by Tom Raffio and Barbara McLaughlin when I did a little speaking engagement in Mexico for these guys in the insurance business from the New England area that are top performers. You know, they take guys that do well and take them on a little trip, and they invited me to go along because I know some of those guys in the business from up here in Maine where I live. And I happened to meet, and they wanted me to talk about, you know, different things. So when I started talking, Tom Raffio had been in the process of writing a book about his experiences running Northeast Delta Dental along with Barbara. And when I started talking, he said there was a lot of the points that I made were almost like chapter headings for the book that he had already started writing. So he said, wouldn't it be interesting if we could use sports analogies to go along with what I do at Northeast Delta Dental, and have made that and have grown that business. And so he was talking about trying to create a business for long-term success, not just a short-term, you know, but something that's going to endure over time. So we talk about how players who do prepare and how they're very conscientious about improving their own game and focusing on what makes them good and growing from there, and then teams on how they draft and how they set up their businesses, you know, like why are the Celtics, were they good for so long? Why are the Lakers good for so long? Why are the, you know, were the Montreal Canadiens, the Yankees, and all these different franchises that were good over the span of decades and decades? What makes them different? So that's how I came to be a co-author on this book with Tom and Barbara. So for me, it was kind of easy because all I had to do was, you know, sort of fill in some of the blanks and add to what they had already written, was sort of the meat of the book, is about their business and how they've grown their business and the different decisions they've made to how they treat it to grow their business over the long haul, and how they treat their employees, how they service their customers, you know, and now a big thing is how are they going to deal with the whole Affordable Care Act and how that changed their business and how they had to be one step ahead so that they didn't lose some of their value.
Very interesting, Dave, and I think that what you're seeing is specifically that there's a connection between business and sports in so many aspects. And GJ, you see that all the time. Again, you said you were this big time athlete, G, and you liked, but also ultimately you connect a lot of your goals and business related to sports, right, G?
Well, let me clarify one thing. I wasn't this big-time athlete.
Dale Brown would
you're
think,
a legend.
Dale Brown you're, thinks you're a legend, right?
you are a legend in your own mind. I know that.
Exactly.
That's right.
And I have many people to put their stamp of approval on that. Now, I did play competitive basketball, you know, and to my 40s, and I'm a former military sergeant, so I do.
There you go.
I look at everything that I do from a team standpoint and a community standpoint, you know, in business, and everything I learned on the court and in the military, I definitely apply on a daily basis. So obviously, you're doing that too, Dave. So, what would you say are the two ties for you? You know, some of the top three components of playing team sports and basketball and business that you see go hand in hand with one another?
Well, I think, you know, as a coach, you have to have a vision. You have to kind of know where you're trying to go and have a goal. And then you have to sort of explain that goal as a coach and as an owner. Say, here's all the people that are involved in this, the players, the coaches, the trainers, everybody that's promoted. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. And here's the premise that we're working on. And here's our principles. And here's how we're going to operate. So somebody's got to kind of organize that view. And then you try to recruit people that fit with that particular vision that you have and the way that you want to operate your business. And so you can look at that as somebody that's going to hire employees to answer the phone, take care of the books, service the clients, make decisions with your board of directors, who your board of directors are going to be. Or you can look at it as, well, we're going to hire as a coach, an assistant coach, a certain player who plays a certain way, and that sort of a thing. So there's some commonalities there. So first of all, it's just the vision. Then it goes into personnel. Well, what type of people do you want to be involved in? And Red Auerbach used to always say, I recruit talent, but also recruit character. You know, I want somebody that's going to be able to help other players and not just be totally into themselves. Take over when you're supposed to, but defer when you're supposed to, and be a good team player, be a good locker room guy. Don't cause problems. Don't second guess. You know, keep those lines of communication open. So all those different things are important in business as well as in sports. And then you got to keep your eye on the prize. You got to have, you know, say it, you got to be able to know how to keep score and track yourself and be, I think, evaluate yourself objectively all the time. And so you don't become a legend in your own mind. You become exactly what you are and what you're contributing. And like if you're in the military, you got to know, well, I'm not going to put somebody that can't shoot straight out there, you know, being a sniper for me. You know what I mean? So you got to know who can do what best. And then you have to try to help develop those people on the workplace and give them the tools to work with, advance with them. There is an awful lot of commonality because, as we know, sports on a professional level and the college level, you know, is certainly a big business. I often say you should put the sports page right in the business section because everybody cares about what everybody makes more than they care about how many points they average.
Exactly. And, Dave, I guess in the whole process, when you talk about all those key components, you have to have a great atmosphere as well. And being the co-author of that book, you had to explain to people in a lot of ways, your other authors, that in business, same thing, and in sports, if you don't have a good atmosphere, you're not going to have happy employees, and you're not going to have happy employees, you're not going to produce, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, at Northeast Delta Dental, what they do is they describe the kind of environment that they establish in Concord and wherever they are and how they treat, you know, like I'll give you an example. When you call there, if you call Northeast Delta Dental and you get somebody answers the phone, they are responsible for getting you to somebody who can take care of your needs. And that person, that next person you talk to is going to be the person that's going to hope to answer your question within 4 minutes.
Right.
You know, it's not going to be, okay, well, you got to wait for somebody else, and then you're going to get put on hold, and then you're going to wait for somebody else, and then somebody hangs up on you, you got to call back. See, that's, so it's, you know, your first opportunity to impress somebody, you know, is right now. And so you take care of business, and so they, the top people in the company, empower the folks that are answering the phone to take care of some business on their behalf. And if they err, so they don't look at that as a problem. They look at that as an opportunity to help that person get smarter and more efficient. And then they also encourage them to get involved in the community. So they give them time off. They're out in the work at home, you know. So it creates a good family atmosphere so that they know that the people at the top are taking care of the people at the you know, in all areas of the business. You know, and so the guy who's in the boardroom should be able to feel at home in the place where they, you know, where the mail's being given out or they're making copies. That's the kind of environment that they have there, and it's pretty awesome. If I after meeting them, Tom and Barbara, and going to their business up there in Concord and meeting all their employees, if I wanted a job in the insurance business, I would want to go and work there. Because I know I would be happy, and I know that I would be nourished every day to do a good job, to do a better job. And I would want to help the team there. And they have a great environment. So that's what they're talking about when they're saying, you know, to sustain a business long term, you know, that's what they're talking about. And the no do-overs part in the beginning is that there are times when you have to make a big decision. All right, it's like, okay, we got the number one pick. Well, you don't get the number one pick all the time. You better not make a mistake. Right. So there's no do-over there. You know what I'm saying? Like Cleveland right now, they got to be kicking themselves because they took this guy Bennett, who, you know, I mean, he hasn't done a thing for them. And they're saying, we had a number one pick, and that's who we drafted. Well, I hope this guy comes alive sooner or later, but maybe he won't. Well, that's a huge, you know, opportunity missed. And it may take a long, long time for them to recover.
I like the idea when you talk about there are no do-overs, that we got to make decisions, Dave, and I'm going to touch upon this with GJ as well. GJ, that you got to make decisions and think about those decisions and know that, especially if you have the opportunity, you have to jump on it and rise to the occasion, right, G?
Well, correct. And, you know, as Dave says, you know, if you got the number one pick, you got to make the right choice. And in business, you're always going to be making some type of decision. And the key is make the best decision with the information that you have. And another thing that Dave shared too, you know, the great Red Auerbach, you know, he recruited talent, but he also recruited character. And all those are factors that created a winning atmosphere. And it sounds like Delta Dental has created a winning atmosphere. And obviously, you know, you played, you know, in your career and also in coaching, they're creating that winning atmosphere. And so that everybody feels part of the team and everybody's clear about what they have to do and making those right choices, you know, whether it's the player or the person answering the phone or the chairman of the board. You know, you're going to have those decisions. And then
people get coached up. You know how that works. You know, somebody comes in and they have basic skills, and so then you try to get them better, so you coach them up. So they're coaching up everybody in every division of their business, just like a coach and the assistant coaches would work with different players and coaching them up, get them more savvy about what's expected of them and what to, you know, how to watch film and the importance of watching film and the importance of practicing a certain way and trying to get something done every day. Just don't go to practice and say, okay, I'm here, I can't wait to leave. No, every time you go to practice, try to get something done.
Yes.
You know, you try to grow a little bit as a person, as a player. And that's when it just incrementally, you get better and better and better. And then it just spreads like wildfire throughout because people see and they copy. And that's a big part of basketball is just copying. You know, nobody ever dunked a ball like Connie Hawkins or Dr. J or somebody. But once somebody saw that, everybody could say, man, I'm going to try to aspire to do that. It's like the guy that broke Bannister, that broke the 4-minute mile. All of a sudden, after that, everybody was breaking the 4-minute mile that was a good runner. They didn't think they could do it, so it was a mental logjam. So that happens in business as well. People see there's possibilities, and then they aspire to that.
Absolutely, Dave. And what did you learn from the book, writing the book with the other co-authors? What did you learn specifically, I guess, again, you being a sports guy, and sports is definitely where you started seeing the relationships in between, especially being with Coach Red Auerbach and the whole team atmosphere of the Celtics, and then the relationship of a successful business?
Well, I just learned that I could do this, that I could write, and you know, I could be part of a team that was putting a book together. You know, a lot of people always say, you ought to write a book. I said, well, I could write a comic book. That would probably be fitting. My book would be about 6 pages long of anything that would be halfway interesting to read. You know, but this was a way for me, just like I've always done, instead of being like I'm the big star, I was always just, and as I said when I was inducted into the Hall of Fame, I just thought that I was a really good teammate. And I felt like that's what I did with this book. I was a good teammate. They said, here's what we're going to talk about here. We're going to, you know, try to find the right players for the right position in our business. And how do you do that in basketball? How do you develop a player's skill? How do you keep the team healthy? These are sort of chapter headings. And you play all out. How do you earn trust? How do you play as a team? You know, communicating. You pay attention to the score. Well, all those things. They said, well, here's what we're writing about in the book. Is there an analogy to sports that I would think about it, about my playing career or my coaching career? And I would say, oh, yeah, this kind of pertains. And then I would write a little story about that, an anecdote. So that was kind of easy for me because I didn't have to start it and finish it. You know, I just added to in something that I was very familiar with. And, you know, and if you remember being in school when you're given a paper, a term paper to do, what's the hardest thing? Try to get started.
Yes.
I didn't have to get started. All I had to do was fill in as they went along because that was already done for me.
All right, we're talking Dave Cowens, Hall of Fame basketball player, now author, and I think he would definitely, his memoir would be an interesting book, Dave, so you can't keep that off. That at one point will be on your bucket list at one point to do that.
I'm getting close to that bucket list.
No, I hope not. No, definitely not. And neither you or G. So GJ, what we've been able to hear from Dave is, again, that relationship. And I think that you use analogies of sports all the time, GJ, when we run our business. Isn't that true?
True, and you know, Dave said it best. You know, he says I looked at myself as being a good teammate, and you know, each person on the team has a function, and sometimes the star players got to take control of the game, and sometimes, you know, the subs got to come in the game for whatever reason, and they've got to rise up too. And Dave also brought up, you know, raising people up, and whether it's in sports or it's in business, and Dave gave some great analogies. And one thing we haven't actually given the title of the book, I just realized, so I apologize, Dave, but Dave's book is There Are No Do-Overs, The Big Red Factors for Sustaining a Business Long Term. And we talk about sustainable business and doing the right things, and Dave's touched on some key aspects of the business. And one of the things we talk about here is, you know, we're always talking about challenges, and we don't see problems, we just see challenges. And, you know, and whether it's a challenge to be a better basketball player or be better at business, and I live on a 90-day challenge. So what do you see your 90-day challenge for yourself, and also where we can find more information on you and your book?
Well, the book, when you know, where I come in, it says The Big Red Factors. Well, you go to bigredfactors.com. That's our website. And then you'll learn an awful lot more about the book and how to purchase it. There's hardcover, there's paperback, and then you can go on Amazon and get an e-book. You know, it's pretty cheap. We're talking about, you know, 140 pages. It's not a big book. There are no pictures, no compromising positions on any of us or any, you know, that kind of stuff. It's you know, it's just a nice, it's not a telltale book. It's a factual book. It's a book that really is sort of a how-to. I mean, you can use this book and the fundamentals that are in this book in terms of running a business and how you treat people and how you coach people up in your business. If you're running a charity, just in your own home, how you deal with your kids, your parents, your in-laws, and that whole family environment, how you know, can learn how to treat people better and how to incentivize people. There's a lot of good hints in here outside of just helping you in business. And it also is an affirmation of people that are doing all the right things. They read the book and they say, yeah, I do that. Wow, you know, I am doing the right thing.
Right.
And so, you know, it's really good that way. For me right now, this book is over. We're promoting it. And like I say, you can go to bigredfactors.com. There Are No Do-Overs is the name of the book. But for me right now, I've been doing some color studio work for Comcast New England and the Celtics. So that's a whole new profession. You guys are in the media. You understand what it's all about. You know, you can say, well, Dave, you've been a player and you've been a coach, so you know what you're talking about. That's only half the battle. Content's only a little part of it. You got to know how to be an on-air personality. You have to know how to punch it, you know, when it's time to punch it. You got to organize your thoughts and get it done, you know, in a 15, 20-second deal. You can't go on and on and on. And so the challenge is to organize your thoughts quickly, give it a beginning, middle, and end, punch it when you need to, be excited all the time, you know, and it's so that's what you learn, and that's my challenge right now.
Well, absolutely, is to learn that, and we're learning as we go as well, GJ and I,
yeah.
and especially because again, the more you do it, the better you become at it, and you're very knowledgeable, Dave. So when we talk about somebody as that color commentator, is to provide that resource that not many people have that knowledge at, and you definitely do a great job at that. And people need to definitely go and purchase the book. And GJ, that's something we definitely have to have our team go ahead and purchase this book as well, right, G?
Well, absolutely, and I you know, I collect books, Dave, and you know, and I know what it's like to write a book. I wrote one. I'm actually in the process of completing my second one.
Wonderful.
And so I know there's a little vulnerability being out there, and also being an on-air personality. There's a lot of vulnerability out there, and you get so many key points about being successful in business and in life, so I thank you for coming on the show and sharing it. And also, I realized today you have a pretty good sense of humor. I was looking at that tough guy on the court. You know, you don't want to go down in the baseline. He's going to get taken out. So I guess
I'm all about peace and love, man. I'm a '60s guy. You know what I mean? Come on now.
And it came across, and I see that. So thanks for being real, and we'll definitely get your book. And
what's the name of your books?
My book is The Playful and Powerful Warrior Within You. And it's the steps that took me from being depressed and suicidal to living a pretty darn good life as a successful entrepreneur. And that part of my mission is just to help other, you know, help people reclaim their personal power and yep. be successful entrepreneurs, since that's really my niche. So I will definitely pass on what you're doing and continue to share, and we'll promote that. And hopefully at some point we can, our paths can cross and meet face-to-face.
That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. And GJ would be looking up, especially if all three of us met face-to-face. You and I would look face-to-face, Dave, but not GJ. So I had to put that. So yeah, we'd have to show you a picture. But Dave, thanks again for calling. Best of luck to all you right. at the book, and it was a pleasure talking to you and sharing your story of business and life in so many ways. So thanks for calling.
All righty, then. Appreciate it. Thanks for letting me be on the show with you.
All right, take care, Dave. See you later.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right, you're listening to the Total Tutor Show, powered by the Simply G Media Network celebrity segment on the Beach Lifestyle Radio Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show, powered by the Simply G Media Network Celebrity Segment, and also Author's Corner. And, anytime I get an opportunity to talk history and sports, and we think about the Green Bay Packers, even though the fact is this is Pittsburgh town, but we're syndicated all over the world, but my flagship station and my heart belongs to the Steelers. I am really excited to welcome the program Leroy Butler, four-time Pro Bowler, NFL 1990s All-Decade Team, Super Bowl champion, and much, much more, and author of Packers Pride. Green Bay greats share their favorite memories. Leroy, thanks for calling, man.
Hey, my pleasure.
Absolutely. It's got to be just an amazing thing to be asked to write this book, honestly, because think about, all the great Packer greats and the tradition. It's probably, and I hate to say this as a Pittsburgh fan, but the greatest sports team probably in the world, the Packer pride is just unbelievable.
That's the thing, to understand the Packer pride, putting that vote together. Although the Steelers have more Super Bowls than any team, and the Green Bay Packers have more championships, so there's a good fight for the top who had the best fans. But putting this book together gave me a chance to be a football geek. I get a chance to tell my football stories and keep it pretty much 100% football. So, in talking to some of the players, being Rob Rice, who was the co-author of this book, we talked to 50, 60 other players, and they got a chance to tell some of their great stories. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, absolutely. Let's go with your greatest memories, first of all, because, again, I never knew this, but I had a feeling that you started the Lambeau Leap. So that's got to be one big thing there. That's a huge memory of yours when you came up with that. So tell us a story about that. I know our listeners are interested.
Absolutely. I mean, the Lambeau Leap shows true love of your fans. In 1993, we're playing the Raiders. I called the former Red Dwight, picked it up, and as he's getting tackled by Steve Wisniewski, we caught eye contact, and he was falling. He lathered me the football, and I'm running down the sideline, and I just wanted to do something, fun. And I pointed this one guy, I told him I was going to jump in the stands, and the thing that was funny about it, the guy had a beer in his hand, and he had to throw the beer away. When I jumped up, and he grabbed me, he said, "Hey, man, you owe me a beer." Ever since then, I knew I've arrived in Wisconsin, a Florida African-American from the deep south, playing in Wisconsin in the cold weather, and that's what it's all about, loving our fans.
Absolutely. And then after that, other players took suit when you did the Lambeau Leap, right? Who else on your team said, "I'm going to start doing it as well"?
It kind of took off, and the fans did a huge like a big naming rights thing. We voted on it. What do you want to call what Leroy just did? And everybody said, "Let's call it the Lambeau Leap." It was done in Lambeau Stadium. And we had all kinds of names out there, but the fans voted on it, and that's what we stuck with. And there was, now you see other players jumping in the stands, hugging their fans, and the fans have absolutely loved it.
So that's so interesting, and that's something that will always be that stamp for the Green Bay Packers. And I'm sure that's one of the reasons they considered you writing the book, because, again, the new tradition of the Green Bay Packers, the tradition of Super Bowl championships and the winning tradition coming back to Green Bay, because you had some years where it was just championship after championship, and there was a lot of lean years too, Leroy, weren't there?
Absolutely, you know, and that's a good thing about it. You know, in the late 60s, winning the first two Super Bowls and winning a lot of championships, you know, before then. But after, you know, the 70s and the 80s and the, you know, early 90s, well, you're right, it's a lean years. I remember going to the playing Carolina, going to the Super Bowl in 96-97 season. I saw a sign that said, 30 years of misery has ended. We're going back to the Super Bowl. And it dawned on me when the last time the Green Bay Packers were in the Super Bowl, you know, 30 years. So it felt good to championship trophy at home.
Exactly, and it was always just the cool uniforms. You know, and it's kind of like that Midwest team, and it's never going to happen again. And then you guys resurge to the point now of different things. So let's talk about some of the players you interviewed, and one I'm going to talk about my favorites, if you don't mind, because I have some favorites.
Oh, of the
Packers. One is Sterling Sharp. So I was a fan of his because I was a huge fan of Shannon because I'm a Bronco fan as well. So tell me specifically what his memories of Lambeau Field was.
One thing I'm going to say about Sterling, maybe Mark Tremont may disagree with this. Sterling Sharp had the best physique of anybody to ever play in a Green Bay Packer uniform. He was cut and ripped up. He was a specimen at wide receiver like you've never seen. And I don't think you'll ever see a guy other than Calvin Johnson that was big and physical the way he played. I mean, he was an imposing figure, and he was just a great guy to be around. And he was one of the favorites because all he wants to do is make plays. And I think he had some of the best hands. I'm hoping he gets a chance to get into the Hall of Fame. But that guy, I'm telling you what, he was a looked like Lee Haney, one of these muscle-bound guys at wide receiver.
Huh. Absolutely, and that's interesting. His brother, again, another specimen himself and Shannon. So yeah, so that
definitely,
absolutely. Now another big one, and I guess we thought, you know, you never have another great quarterback like Bart Starr and Brett Favre, and now you're seeing Aaron Rodgers as a monster as well. So it's pretty interesting. But what was Brett when you got the chance to talk to Brett? What was his favorite memories?
I'll make this real quick. In the book, I talk about Brett Favre being the best teammate in the entire league, but not only that, I think he's the best teammate in all of sports. One thing that he did, he came into the locker room being traded from Atlanta. He got to know everybody. He went in. There was some African-American guys playing a card game called Spades. And then you go down a little further, you see some of the white guys playing backgammon. And you see some old guys with camouflage on getting ready to go hunting or talk about hunting. Then you got guys playing country music. Then you got some of the younger guys playing video games. All of that going on in the locker room. Brett networked his way around and got to know everybody. And that's why I say he's the best teammate. He didn't wait for people to come meet him. He was very proactive when he met everybody. That's why all his teammates love him.
Interesting. And again, leaders, quarterbacks have to have that relationship with their players. If they want to be, protected, especially with their offensive linemen, but also provide that opportunity as leadership. Because Brett had tremendous leadership, didn't he?
Well, no question about it. If you go back and look at the Oakland game, you know, his dad passed away. I mean, the receivers made catches you never seen before. And I'm going to tell you, so I'll be very honest with you, because I played with him, you know, for like 8 or 9 years. If I knew number four was sitting up, I know two things had to happen. First, I knew we had a chance of winning. Second, I got to step my game up. That elevated me. It's almost like playing with Michael Jordan or golfing in a foursome with Tiger Woods. You elevate your game when you're around guys who step their game up. And Brett was that kind of guy.
Well, absolutely. And he, again, he was a hard worker that, you know, never quit. And you just remember all the time, even when he's getting beat up, he just kept getting back up. He didn't say, hey, I'm going to go ahead and take myself out of this game. He just kept playing and playing and playing really hard till the rest. I mean, he's somebody, he reminds me of what Bradshaw was, somebody that, you know, he just kept going. It didn't matter what happened. He was there. And that's truly what Brett was.
And I think that's the most important. When you look about somebody like Terry Bradshaw, who won four championships, when they talk about all-time greats, back, they don't bring Terry Bradshaw's name up. But if you think about all the games that he ran, that he was in, he won them all. If you think about the all-time winning quarterback, you know, Brett Favre, although he only won one championship, he has more records than anybody. So, you know, I was just fortunate enough to be with a guy like that. And I think it was important in the Packer Pride book, any Packer fan out there listening, or just a football fan, I think you'll enjoy the stories in Packer Pride, how we take our team very seriously, religiously, and not to mention we are owned by the fans, so we absolutely love that.
Oh, I understand that. So tell us, I guess, I'm sure you mentioned that in the book for people that aren't Packer fans, about that you're owned by the fans. That makes things different. Does it make it different at being in an organization owned by the fans?
Yeah, I think the fans, for the most part, they see us every day. We're a part of them. They see the stock certificate, and people see it on their wall. They tweet pictures of it and stuff like that. Oh, we sign it, and I think for the most part, that's what we love about it. And that's why I think naming it Packer Pride was red spot on. And actually, on the back of the book, Aaron Rodgers is doing the Lambeau Leap, and you see some of the fans in there. And even on the front, obviously, you got me doing the Lambeau Leap, and the fans are all incorporated.
Well, absolutely, and to see the tradition and then go and to talk about Bart Starr in this book and Paul Hornung and talk about Forrest Gregg,
yeah,
and all these different people that you're, and Willie Davis and all these Packer greats, you're not just talking about the beginning, you're talking about all of it. You're not saying, okay, we really highlighted the time you played. It's all of the Packers.
Absolutely. And I think the different eras is what people really like, you know. That's, you know, from the 60s, 70s, we cover players all over.
We're talking to Leroy Butler, author of Packers Pride, and I'm just enjoying the conversation with him. And I just tell you, you just remind me of the tradition that the Pittsburgh Steelers. When you talk to a former Steeler that's a Super Bowl champion, you feel that, again, that aura about that person. I feel the same way talking to you today, Leroy, that I feel that you just have that, you know, that you have that Packer pride. You have green and yellow in your blood. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Our fans, we love our fans. They love us. We go to some of the picnics. I think we talk to some of the, we get to everything from bar mitzvahs, we're invited to charity events, and we just absolutely love our fans. And matter of fact, I'm at an event right now that we're doing a book signing, and the fans are coming in, and we just love the way we interact with the fans. So much. It's just a lot of love. Win, lose, or draw. Matter of fact, there's a story that we talk about in there. 1995, we lost to the Rams, and I was telling Rob Rice, it was 35,000 people chanting "Go Pack, go!" So I'm thinking, most teams after you lose, they go home, but here the fans, they absolutely love you, win, lose, or draw. And that's why 2010, when the Steelers played the Green Bay Packers, that was the number one historical event in all of sports. For you to think about how much tradition,
yes,
was at that stadium in Dallas. It's unbelievable. We still talk about it.
Absolutely. And then you guys shocked the world by beating the Steelers, because I consider it shocked the world. We were all expecting another Super Bowl championship. So,
hey, listen, Ben Roethlisberger doesn't lose a lot of games, okay? So trust me, we feel good about that. Anytime Big Ben is put in a position when Super Bowls, you know, he usually wins, so we're very fortunate.
So one other question, because I know you have to get to an event, and I appreciate you taking the time again on the Total Education Celebrity Show Author's Corner. The question I wanted to ask that really is, I guess, the whole process of writing this book and everything, it just must be feel great when it's finished. Because, again, you probably never had such a large project like this, and to put it all together and now to see all the Packer fans so motivated to read the book, it must make you feel really great.
It really does. And I think, you know, in working with Rob, you know, he was just a pleasure to work with. And when we do the book signings and meeting some fans and they tell us some of their stories, I think that's what we really love about it.
Absolutely. And the stories and the story, and then stories about you as well, for sure. And all these different things. So where can our listeners, especially internationally and all over the world that are listening to this program, can purchase the book and learn more about you, Leroy? Where can they find the book and find information on you?
Yeah, they can find information on the book anywhere the books are sold, obviously at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Anywhere books are sold, anywhere, it's all over. You can find Packer Pride. And that's a good thing about it. You can go online. You can go to triumphbooks.com and get it sent right to your home. Matter of fact, you can also go out and get signed copies sent right to your house if you want the next week or so.
Well, absolutely. Well, fantastic. It was great talking to you, and best of luck with the book. And I understand also you are involved with a lot of different things in the Green Bay area with charity and all that stuff. So best of luck. Do you have a foundation that you promote as well, Leroy, that you're involved in?
Well, we're doing a very good we're starting an anti-bullying campaign called Butler Versus Bullying. Be Friends, Not Enemies. We just started that. You can go to LeroyButlerINC.com for more information. For more information about that.
All right. Well, I hope our listeners are able to do that. And Leroy, enjoy the book signing, enjoy promoting the book, and getting out and meeting all these great Packer fans. So thanks again for calling, man.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed the interview.
I it was a lot of fun. Thanks again. Take care. Okay. Bye-bye. All right. You're listening to the Total Education Celebrity Show, Author's Corner, and we'll be back in just a moment.